See, prayer isn't supposed to be something that you do because you're supposed to do it. It's supposed to be something that we get to do. It's something that we are invited into. You see, Solomon is reminding us that when we pray, that ultimately it isn't about getting stuff done. It isn't about prayer requests, praise reports, or lamentations. Prayer is more than words. It is about connection, about connecting with our God. And so we are invited to connect with our Creator. Prayer is also an invitation. Prayer is an invitation into relationship. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus' disciples asked him, they're like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. That's a great question. They asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said to them, he says, when you pray, say, Father. Father. See, how did we get from the God of all creation to Dad? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. You see, in the book of Hebrews, we're told that through Jesus, we have full access to the Father because of what he has done. That we can now approach God as sons and daughters. We can approach God as children of God through what Jesus has done for us. So we can come to the Father not in fear and trembling that he's going to squish us with his cosmic thumb of justice, but we can come in confidence that we are welcomed into the family of God. Prayer is an invitation. You know, I'm a father, and my kids call me all the time. You know, and they don't call me Joe, they call me Daddy, right? There's this closeness of relationship in that word. You know, there's a level of trust, there's a level of admiration, there's a level of intimacy. You know, I'll never forget shortly after my daughter Loveland was potty trained, she was confident enough to go to the bathroom without telling us, but she still needed a little bit of help. And so Mel and I would be relaxing on the other side of the house, and then just like out of nowhere, you just hear this deafening screech, Daddy! Come wipe my bum! You know, just like no dignity at all. Just like, I got stuff to get done, right? There's just this level of closeness. And sometimes that closeness is disgusting. But there's this level of closeness between a father and their child. There's this level of trust. You know, and as a father, I adore my kids. And when they fall down and cry out for me, I don't just, you know, point my finger and laugh. I run over and I hold them. I tell them it's going to be okay, that I love them. And I know that for some people, there's a lot of baggage around the word father or around the word dad. Because if we're honest, all earthly dads are flawed. There's no perfect fathers. Even the best fathers are imperfect. And before being a lead pastor, I worked with youth all the time. And I can stand here very, very sadly tell you that I know for a fact that the only claim to fatherhood that some men have is genetics. But God is not like those fathers. He is the good, good father. He is the father that is approachable and accessible. He's not elusive or indifferent. He is love. And so there's this incredible relational component to prayer. On one hand, we have a creator of the heavens and the earth, and on the other, we have Dad. Jesus held this balance perfectly. If we revisit his words, he said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Or may your name be kept holy. And this word holy means to be completely separate and other and different than anything else or anyone else. And so yes, God is our Father, but he is not a father like any other father we have known. He is a father who holds the stars but also holds my heart. He's completely unlike any earthly father. He will never let us down. He will never hurt us or walk out on us. See, prayer is so much more than words. Prayer is an invitation into relationship. finally, prayer is transformation. One of my favorite biblical stories of all time, and if you hear me preach enough, you'll know that I have a lot of favorite stories and verses. But I love this one. And it's about Moses. In the Old Testament, there was this guy named Moses, and he was leading the nation of Israel. God had put him in charge. And he was fed up. He was sick and tired of leading this stubborn group of people. And him and God were having it out. They were having a conversation. And Moses, you can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses says to God, he's like, God, like these people, I'm done. I'm ready to throw in the towel. Like, I can't take it anymore. And God says, Moses, my presence will go with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to abandon you. And Moses says again, he's like, no, I don't think you get it. Like, yes, you say that, but this is my reality right now. I'm not buying it. And God again affirms, he says, Moses, I will go with you. My presence will go with you. And Moses is very bold at this moment. What he says to God is he says, show me your glory. Or in other words, prove it. If you really are who you say you are, prove it. Show me your glory. Show me that you have the power to do something about my situation. And so God says, okay. And so Moses goes up to the mountain to get God's law, and he catches just the smallest glimpse, just the smallest glimpse of God's glory. And it's so bright and so miraculous and so crazy that his face actually becomes illuminated. And so he comes down the mountain and everyone's looking at him and they're like this. And so he actually put a veil over his face to read the law to them. And he reads the law to them with the veil over face. Now jump forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul tells us that the covenant made with Moses is like looking at God through a veil. He's there, but he's really hard to see. You can glimpse him in moments, but he's hidden. And then he goes on to say this. He says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, we can see God clearly now. There is no veil that is blocking his love. There is no veil obscuring his grace. And when we come to him, when we spend time in his presence, when we contemplate the Lord's glory, we are transformed. We are changed. We are being renewed, and we are being shaped, and we are being molded into the image of God's Son so that we become more like Jesus. Billy Graham said that before prayer changes others, it first changes us. Before prayer changes situations or people or anything, it changes us. See, so prayer is more than just coming to God with needs or even coming to God with thanks. Prayer is about connection. Prayer is an invitation. Prayer is transformation. Prayer is more than words. So in conclusion this morning and in closing, I want to leave you with something that you can take with you. Because I think Monday morning is the most important day of the week if you're a Christian. Because that's where your faith has shoes. And so I want to give you some hints for your prayer life to help work through these things. And the first is to reflect. To reflect, to follow Solomon's wise counsel and not rush into the presence of God. And instead take time to reflect on the majesty of God. Take time to embrace the wonder of him being your father and you being his child. To be thankful for about how he has blessed you. To reflect on what he has taught you and to contemplate how he is changing you into the image of his Son. to examine your heart attitude, because he is in heaven and we are on earth. So let your words be few. Secondly, rely. Rely. If God is powerful enough to keep the universe moving forward, he is powerful enough for your problems. And if he is the good, good Father, then he can be trusted with them. If the God who holds the stars is powerful enough to do that, he can be trusted with your problems. And if he is good, then he can be trusted in. See, we may not always get the solution or the answers to the problems that we may want. But when we trust that God is good and that he has a plan that is bigger than any of us, it becomes a lot easier to rely on him. A while ago in my faith journey, I had a renewing perspective on what faith really is. I used to think that faith was faith in a result, faith in an outcome. And certainly there's a component of faith that has that. But more than anything, before it is faith in an outcome, it is faith in a person. It's faith in a person. Do you trust God to do what's best for you, even when you can't see it? That's true faith. And yes, sometimes that is brought out in faith in outcomes, that yes, I believe that this is what God wants to happen because he's good. But it is always faith in the person before faith in the outcome. So rely on him. And finally, receive. If prayer is really about connection, then enjoy being in God's presence. Enjoy being with him. You know, sometimes we bring our frantic busyness and our need to get things done into our prayer lives. You know, if we're not demolishing strongholds, then what are we even doing? But if I could challenge you this morning, I would say that sometimes the biggest stronghold that needs to be torn down is our own personal pride. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, it can be awkward to let God love you. You can write that down if you want. It can be awkward to let God love you. My wife always tells me that I'm terrible at taking compliments, and she's right. If you've ever complimented me, it gets weird real fast. I'm sorry. But I've always thought it was weird that someone's like, man, you're so awesome. And I'm like, yes, I am awesome. Tell me more. You know, it feels weird. It's uncomfortable. And I think we feel the same way with God. We say, God, you're the God of the universe. You want to give of yourself to me, and I'm just supposed to sit here and take it without doing anything, without solving all the world's problems? Yes. Because he's the good Father, and he transforms us and delights in transforming us. God wants to bring you from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another. He wants to give himself to you, so just let him. So I'm going to call the band back up at this point. And Steve, maybe if you just want to do that magical stuff you do on the piano, man, it's beautiful. You'll take it right on. What I want to do is we're actually going to practice right now, putting this into practice. So without words, without anyone leading you in prayer, I want you, in your own words, to spend a little bit of time in prayer with God right now. And you don't have to worry about being busy. You're stuck in church anyways. I'm just joking. But I just want you to pause for a minute and just reflect. Don't say anything. Just reflect. Reflect on who God is and what he has done in your life. And then when you're done that, I want you to rely on him. I want you to ask yourselves, what is stressing me out right now? What am I freaking out about? And I want you to bring that to God. And if you're really brave, I want you to give that to him and say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I give you that situation. And finally, I want you to receive. I want you to let God do what only he can do. To speak to your heart. To breathe life and love and newness and freshness.